Welcome to the Central Seminary Podcast. We're delighted to have you with us today as we discuss biblical and theological issues relating to life and ministry. This podcast is a ministry of Central Baptist Theological Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. To learn more about Central Seminary, visit our website at www.centralseminary.edu. My name is Micah, and I'll be your host. Welcome back to the Central Seminary Podcast. We have a special episode. This is coming up to our graduation season, and one part of graduation is we always sing the central hymn. The word and testimony begins, to the law and testimony ever shall be Central's song. And so we wanted to bring two of our professors. I have here in the podcast studio with me Dr. John Pratt and Dr. Roy Beecham to share just a little bit of some of the history of the Central hymn and just some anecdotes from that time. And so I hope this will be a special episode for you. We are going to play. We were able to go into the radio studios and find an early recording from Fourth's Quartet of the Law and Testimony, the central hymn. So we'll play that for you here in just a moment. But just to begin our podcast, just learning about a little bit of the history of Central Seminary. So the song that we have here, the motto of Central Seminary from the beginning, to the law and to the testimony. So I've got Roy here, and I want to ask Roy just a little bit about that motto and even a little bit about the song. How did that motto come to be that you knew it from Dr. Clearwater's, to the law and to the testimony?
Well, I wasn't around in 1956. Yes. Well, I wasn't here.
Yes.
I was born in 51, but I was not here in 56 when Central started. Northwestern schools had voted to close their seminary. Dr. Clearwaters was on the trustees. He didn't want to close the seminary, but he was overruled by the majority. Many came to him and wanted to start a seminary. So he apparently sat down and wrote some points of purpose, and he apparently at some point early on wrote the words to this song, The Word and Testimony, based on Isaiah 8. So I believe that's the year it was written, and that's how it came to be.
So we're going to take a quick listen to the school hymn. If you'd come to graduation, you'll definitely hear that. But The Word and Testimony, this is written by Dr. Richard V. Clearwaters, based on Isaiah 8:20. And so we're going to listen to that now.
Sinners, poor and needy, by God's nature now draw near. For the hunger that he gives us by this self of his within, we are pure in daily living through the power he gives to sin and lust, for the Savior's image charms us through the book for us to trust. In the highways and the byways, in the halls with noise and din, here at Central he is central, like the
It's neat to hear the vinyl recording that was ripped off of a vinyl record. For you kids who don't remember what that was, we did that in the WCTS studios this morning, grabbed a copy of it, which we had, and that was neat to remember a little bit of some of the music that WCTS and Fourth Baptist Church has put out. Coming from the writing of that, and even Dr. Pratt, you had a little memory of this album. We have the album before us in the podcast studio, but Dr. Pratt, you remember that even from before becoming a professor at seminary. How did you come to know this album and the school hymn of Central Seminary?
Well, indeed, I have great memories of listening to this album. My dad graduated from Central in 1964, the year I was born. Mm-hmm. And he had, I'm sure, purchased this album shortly after it came out, even though he actually attended a different church while he was attending the seminary. He certainly knew all of the men in the quartet and enjoyed the songs on it, and so purchased the album. So when I was old enough to, and I loved listening to music, and we would put stacks of the vinyl records on the record player and listen to them over and over again. And so I listened to this album many times, and the first song on the album is To the Law and Testimony. And so that would be I would listen to that song a number of times. In fact, I listen to it so often that even now when we sing it every year at the commencement, I know it by heart,
yes.
Having had listened to the album so many times. And little did I know that this song that I was listening to as a kid would be the main theme song of the seminary where I would be teaching at in one day.
Yeah, and we have Dr. Beecham here with us who will be leading the seminary hymn. How often do you lead music? Is that your tenure?
I mean, I used to be the minister of music here at Fourth, and that's kind of what I did. But now we only sing the song, to the best of my knowledge, at commencement. Mm-hmm. I was just counting up the years. This will be my 50th commencement this year.
Yay, yeah.
Beginning as a student. But yeah, and so I get to lead that hymn every year, and I look forward to it. I love, you know, like John, I mean, I can hear the words of this in my sleep, but it's fun to have a congregation, the students, the faculty, singing this song every year at commencement.
In the commencement booklet, as it's listed for us, that it is written by R.V. Clearwaters, and then right under that is the scripture reference, Isaiah 8:20, very clearly how that was written. So what's a little bit of that background, Dr. Beecham, of Isaiah 8:20 and even the motto that has been of Central Seminary, To the Law and Testimony?
Well, I think probably the heart of Dr. Clearwaters as he was founding the seminary, writing the points of purpose and so forth, very much fit with the theme of Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah is forecasting the coming Assyrian invasion. It is on the doorstep. Israel has apostatized to a great degree. He's calling them back to worship God exclusively, to emulate God and his holiness. There are a few, he says, who do and who will be faithful, but many, many will not. Verse 16, actually, he also calls them back to the truth of God's word. He says, bind up the testimony, seal up the instruction among my disciples. So there are a few who follow it. After verse 16, there's the question, who are you going to listen to? Mm-hmm. The false gods, the spiritists, the necromancers, or are you going to listen to God and the word of God? And once again, the call comes then in verse 20, go to God's instruction, or to the law, this is the CSB, go to God's instruction and testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, there will be no dawn for them. So return to the word, follow the word, follow the Lord. If not, your future is dim. There's no light for you. There's no future for you. And Central Seminary was begun, again, in the late 50s when liberalism was on the rise, separatism was on the decline, and Dr. Clearwaters was very much a separatist. He liked to use the word biblicist. Mm-hmm. And so to call the students of Central Seminary, the faculty of Central Seminary, to the Word of God, when he wrote the Points of Purpose, he was calling the constituents, the students, and so forth, to separate from theological compromise, from educational sophistry, from cultural pragmatism, and that's all kind of embedded not only in Isaiah 8, but in the hymn. It's really, in my opinion, I mean, the words are very astute in light of what Central Seminary was designed to be, and by the grace of God, I believe, continues to be.
Yeah. It says, "We have found the Father's Son of our service. He is worthy." And I love how the essence of the writing of it is talking about even going deeper, going into the law and testimony, and that's the purpose of Central Seminary, to drive people into the Word. How has that been it's a motto, but also the practice of Central Seminary since its founding?
Well, I think verse 1, which is in fact where he speaks of the phrase you mentioned, finding the Father's Son through the Scriptures, which is the very way that the hymn concludes. Here at Central, he is Central, the Son of God who comes from the Father, who is found in the Word of God. I mean, that first verse is very Christological, and I believe Dr. Corrales wanted the school to be very Christological. As the Son comes from the Father, and as all of that is revealed in the truth of Scripture.
Looking through the lyrics of the hymn that we have here before us, the Word and Testimony, what are some of those phrases that are helpful to you, maybe even that come up that you reflect on? John, do you have any lines that you recall thinking through?
In verse 1, the line, "Of our service he is worthy, for his form we plainly see." In the pages of the volume, daily witnessed there for me. I see much that's always been an encouraging section of the song as I've thought of certainly God is worthy of our service. In fact, we fall short, I feel so often, of being what God would want me to be in service for him. But he certainly is worthy of all that we can give, all that we can manifest of Christ to the world around us. And the line as well there, that in the pages of the volume, daily witnessed there for me, it's a reminder as well of the importance of being in the Word daily. So this has been a clarion call here at Central ever since it starts, that we want to be people who are not only seeing the Savior in the pages of this book, which we clearly do see, but serving him because he is worthy, and being in the Word daily, not just to do the homework, not just to fulfill assignments in the Bible, because we're a seminary and we're studying the Bible, but to be reading and meditating and memorizing the Word daily. So these are strong words, and those words have always encouraged me.
Roy, do you have any other just powerful parts of this hymn that come to mind?
I mean, I haven't really thought about it that deeply until we were preparing for this podcast, but, you know, we've talked about the Christological focus of the first verse. The second verse begins very soteriologically. It's the Word of God speaking loudly and clearly to lost sinners, poor and needy. Then they are changed into God's nature. Then they are sanctified by the hunger that he gives us of the indwelling Christ through the Spirit, and the purity in daily living. We talked about the, you know, separation from the influence of the culture around us. I think it's just amazing. And then the last verse is kind of evangelistic as well as separatistic. We're in the world, no part of it. I mean, very much a reflection of what Jesus' prayer in the book of John. But in the highways, in the byways, this message is supposed to go out of the halls, which it mentions in the last verse. It's supposed to go out to the world. And so evangelism is very much a part of the hymn. It's interesting to me. I don't know how long it took Dr. Clarois to write this. If you had a moment of, you know, sometimes it just comes to you. Maybe that happened. And he loved poetry and was an excellent poet himself. But I think all of the words of the song, I mean, you can't sing through it without seeing the deeply embedded theology, but also the heart of a man who loved God and loved his Word and wanted others to learn it and to share it.
And can I add, we see about the emphasis, as Roy has just said, on the book, as that's the last line, right? Like the book that brings us him. We at Central have been always engaged in the study of the book, and that's why we've always emphasized the biblical languages and why every MDiv graduate has to have significant amount of Hebrew and Greek studies, because we want to be people of the book. And you can't be people of the book if you don't know it.
Yes.
And knowing the original languages has been a key element of the seminary ever since its inception and will continue, at least as long as Roy and I have an opportunity to contribute to that. We'll continue until Christ returns.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason of thinking through some of these original, it's neat to look back at the history of Central Seminary and the continuing, almost 70 years now, of its continuance and as well bright futures. We're looking to look at the students that we're taking. I want to ask you, Roy, we've had conversations about this. Are there any lyrics that you might alter if you had opportunity to to write them?
Well, I just mentioned the highways and the byways. The next line is in the halls with noise and din, which we've kind of always laughed about. But, you know, back in the last, 60 plus years of Central Seminary, it very much has been what Dr. Clearwater has called a fellowship of learning. We're meeting in the classrooms, but we're also rubbing shoulders in the hall and in the break room. Well, now we're mostly online. You know, it's distance students. So I jokingly this week have said to all our faculty members, we need to have a meeting and change our school song because we no longer have halls with noise and din. They're pretty quiet. Maybe we need to say on the internet with Zoom and microphones or something. I don't know. But that's just kind of a funny part of the hymn, I guess.
The halls are a little wider now, I guess, worldwide with the students that are taking this. And that's another sweet opportunity we have to take some of the podcast and bring it out. Any interesting anecdotes you have just to share with us about the school song, Dr. Beecham, just from your memories of that?
I mean, it is interesting, and it comes up now and then in various ways. I've even seen it online recently where people comment that the tune that we use is the tune that we also use for Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, which is also the German national anthem, which after World War II, and in the Nazi era, became quite controversial. And so, you know, here is our school song set to the German national anthem. Well, the interesting thing about that is that the music was written by Haydn well before Germany, you know, the German Nazis. It was written in the 1790s, I believe, as a hymn for the Holy Roman Empire, the Emperor's hymn. Eventually, words were written and used as the German national anthem way before anybody knew anything of Nazism. And of course, Hitler's atrocities tainted the words of the German national anthem, and there's a long history on that. But every now and then, somebody will say, well, you guys are singing the German national anthem. And it's like, no, we're singing Haydn's tune set to some words that John Newton wrote, and now with words from Dr. Clearwater at our school. It has no Nazi connotations.
Yes, no. And Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, too, another one that might get caught in our heads. But just as we look forward to, and you just mentioned a little bit of that, John, just the future of Central Seminary continuing to have this as the focus, how does that impact then ministry going forward, coming from Central, the ministry of the Word, and then taking that out, that would be the heart that all of Central's graduates go out with?
Well, indeed, our students are taught to study and to know the Word by knowing the original languages, by studying systematic theology, biblical theology, and learning how to preach that Word so that when they leave here, whether they are involved as pastors, or missionaries, church planters, or whatever place the Lord might put them, that they will be those who want God's Word and Jesus put forward centrally in their sermons, in their lessons that they would give in their churches, and be effective in continuing. I don't know if I would call that a legacy that we at Central are seeking to train as our current motto for the church, for the gospel. We want our students to be committed to the Word, and I think this song just brings that out in the to the forefront, and that is what we're hoping to continue to train up these leaders to do that very thing.
Kind of chasing what John just said, you know, the centrality of the Word of God is, in fact, back to kind of where we started with Isaiah 8. I think all of us as faculty members, I personally frequently say in my classroom, you know, we don't want you to go from this place and be preaching Dr. Bowder or Dr. Beecham or Dr. Pratt or Dr. Schrader. It's not about, you know, in Isaiah 8, it's not about anyone else. It's about the Word of God. So hopefully we are teaching you our view of what the Word of God says, but we're giving you tools to study the Word of God for yourself, as Dr. Pratt said. We're giving the languages so you can dig into it yourself. It's about the Word and the testimony. It's not about the teachers and the curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for joining with us on a special episode of the Central Seminary Podcast. We're going to leave you with one final listen to the Word and testimony. This is from the Fourth Quartet. And I'm just going to read you some of the names that are in there. This is Lou Schaefer is the Minister of Music, Richard Nyquist, James Martin, and Paul Fosmark. And on the piano, Mrs. Rollin McCune. So that is on the vinyl, Fourth Quartet. So we'll give you a final listen to that as we close out our time, and thank you for being with us.
Sinners poor and needy, by God's nature now drawn near. For the hunger that he gives us by this self of his within, we are pure in daily living through the power he gives to sin and lust, for the Savior's image charms us through the book for us to trust. In the highways and the byways, in the halls with noise and din, here at Central he is central, like the
Thanks for listening to the Central Seminary Podcast. Our mission at Central Seminary is to assist New Testament churches in equipping spiritual leaders for Christ-exalting biblical ministry. Since its founding in 1956, Central Seminary has sought to provide serious students of God's Word with robust theological education as they prepare for ministry. We have graduates around the world who are serving in countless ways to spread the gospel and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Find out more at our website, centralseminary.edu.